Testing. There we go. Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deep in the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. That he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope. This morning, we are going to be in John chapter 14. Verses 25 and 26, just a couple verses this morning. We could probably spend the next couple months just in these couple verses dealing with the Holy Spirit, getting into who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit is, what the role of the Holy Spirit is in our lives, the different ministries of the Holy Spirit and how that pertains to us. And I'm going to get into a little bit of those, but I'm not going to go into depth into that section or that part of the Holy Spirit. I am going to go into what it specifically talks about in verses 25 and 26 in regards to the Holy Spirit. But just like I said just a moment ago, as we were doing communion, this section of Scripture is the disciples are in the upper room. They're hours away from Christ being crucified now. Judas has already left them. And now Jesus is going to be spending the next couple chapters giving instruction to the disciples on everything from what we're going to be talking about this morning, the Holy Spirit. He basically lays it out as plainly as possible to the disciples who Jesus is, who he himself is, and what he represents, and how over the previous couple years, as he's been walking and talking and teaching his disciples, he has shared all that information. But now it's just the disciples. There's no distractions. There might have been some distractions early on in the conversation, just with Judas and the disciples learning that someone was going to betray him. But really, it's just Jesus and the 11 disciples right now getting one-on-one, so to speak, instruction. So in verses 25 and 26. I'm actually going to pick it up. I'll start in verse 18, but the verses we're going to go over this morning are going to be 24 and 25, or 25 and 26, excuse me. So John chapter 14, starting in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. And remember, I just said he's talking to the disciples. This passage is specifically written for the disciples, but has there's a lot of everyday implications and application in our own lives that we'll see. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Lord, we thank you for this morning again, and thank you for this word and for your message and for the truth that it contains. And Lord, we just in this short text, we see that you have sent a helper on our behalf to teach us all things and to help us remember all things that we have learned. And it's clear here from this text that you tell your disciples, if anyone loves you, that person will keep your word, and your Father will love him. Lord, so as we go through this section of Scripture, I pray that your Spirit would soften our hearts, open our minds, and give us eyes to hear, eyes to see, and ears to hear your word and your truth. And Lord, I know that that is accomplished by the work of the Spirit in our lives, Lord. So I pray now for your Spirit to come and fill each of us and guide us and direct us to your truth, Lord. Amen. So we see in verse 16, Jesus tells his disciples that he is going to ask the Father to give us a helper, to be with us. What does it say? Just for a short while, just for the time in the upper room? No, it says that Jesus is going to ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. Or Jesus is telling his disciples, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So we see here that what Jesus is talking about here with the Spirit, with that helper, what we're going to get into, it almost goes back to a point of salvation. Yes, salvation is available to anyone, but not everyone is saved. And just like what we just read in verse 17, 16 and 17, the world cannot receive the Spirit because it neither sees him nor knows him. So what we're going to be talking about today, yes, it's available for anyone who believes, who's a believer. Verse 25, these things, what things, all these things that he's just read up until this point is what he's referring to. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. The disciples up to this point, and we even see at some points back in chapter 12, verse 16, that the disciples, even though they had walked and talked and slept and eaten and basically lived life with Christ for the previous 3 years, they still didn't understand what Christ was going to endure and what he had to go through. All the things that Christ taught, even though Christ was teaching them personally, they weren't able to understand all things. As in chapter 12, verse 16, when the day of the triumphal entry, verse 16, his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. So there's one example, previously what we've learned. And then again in chapter 16, verse 13, I'll start in verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So we see in a couple chapters, in chapter 16, that even the disciples didn't have all the information yet. It was the Holy Spirit that was going to come and bring truth to them. In verse 26, but the helper, in this verse clearly tells us who that helper is, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. So we see in my Bible, and I don't know about your Bible, but grammar is a really important part in understanding what words relate to other words, not just in Scripture, but in books you read or other commentaries or articles or whatever. But you see here, it says, but the helper, comma. So the comma means whatever's coming next is going to be describing who the helper is or telling us who the helper is. That's why we know that the Holy Spirit is our helper. So it says, but the helper, comma, the Holy Spirit, comma, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I have said to you. So the Father not only sent his Son, we all know, I think we can all agree that just a basic knowledge of Scripture, we know that the Father sent the Son to earth to die on the cross on our behalf. Can we all agree on that, right? He also is sending, he not only sends God the Son, he also sends God the Spirit on our behalf as our helper. God knew that, and Jesus, even in his teaching, knew that we were going to have a difficult time. We were going to face many trials, many tribulations. It would have been impossible. It is impossible on our own behalf, on our own behest, to do anything to please God. We can't do anything on our own to please God because we're sinners. We're fallen man. So, like I said, the scriptures from cover to cover is a story of the redemptive history of God's people, of what God did to redeem his people. But he didn't just leave us out there in the wind to dry and to chafe and to blow away. No, he gave us a helper, the Spirit. So first he gives us his Son, and then he sent his Spirit in Jesus' name. But one of the reasons is, it tells us, it's pretty clear right here in verse 26, that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. When I was going through that and looking through different stuff in different books and scriptures, what came to my mind here is, because anyone can read the scripture, even non-believers read the scripture to know it and to argue sometimes against it. Sometimes they think just because they read it, they know it, and they're a Christian because they read the Bible or they go to church, so they're a Christian. Many people can read the scriptures, but the things that are contained, the mysteries that are contained in the scriptures, and even before I get to what I'm going to say, there are still mysteries in the scripture that we won't know until Christ comes again. There are some mysteries that will be held from us. And one of the clearest ones is the day and the time and the hour that Christ will return to bring his church, to marry his church, and consummate that marriage. But the word that came to my mind is illumination. The Holy Spirit will teach us all things. So the Holy Spirit indwells in us, and the Holy Spirit opens our eyes. That's why I prayed, and I often pray, that the Spirit would soften our hearts, that we would be sensitive to the things of the Spirit. Because if we have a hard heart and we're just charging ahead, full blast ahead on our own methods, our own madness, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit can't guide us and direct us. Most certainly can. But when we're charging full speed ahead on our own steam, it's hard to hear and listen and be sensitive to what the Spirit wants us to do and where the Spirit wants us to go, and sense that leading in our lives. He will teach us all things. Turn with me just a couple books over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The verse I want us to focus on is verse 12. I'll start up in verse 9. Again, this is Paul's letter to the Corinthians, giving them instructions. They had a lot of instruction. They had a lot of wisdom already, but they had distorted the truth to a point where Paul realized he needed to go and set the record straight and set the church on the path of righteousness. Verse 9, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." Verse 10, "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit." What things is he talking about here? He's talking about what God has prepared for those who love him. Those things have been prepared for us by and through the Spirit, by the Father through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. So think about that for a moment. When the Spirit is imparted in us, when we have the Holy Spirit in us, speaking to us, guiding us and directing us, take comfort that the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Again, that Spirit, that same Spirit that God is, Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going to send as our helper. We learn here in 1 Corinthians that Spirit knows the depths and thoughts of God. Who better to teach us, since Christ has ascended into the most holies and is seated next to God? What better a helper to send than someone who actually knows the thoughts of God? Verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God." Direct correlation to that helper that he is sending. "That we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." So here we see that this helper is available to those who are believers, those who are spiritual, those who know Christ, know the things of Christ. Doesn't mean we have to know everything, because we don't. We will never know everything until this side of heaven, where we fall short of complete knowledge. But we see this section of scripture is a direct correlation to what we see in John chapter 20, in verse 26. We are taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. It's given to us freely, just like salvation is given to all. It's a free gift. It's not that he's going to. He already has sent us the helper. He sent the helper back in the first century, when the disciples were in the upper room. So not only has he already sent the helper to what? We see here in verse 26, to teach us all things, skipping back to 1 Corinthians verse 12. So not only is he going to teach us all things, that understanding is going to come freely to us. But not only is he going to just teach us, there's another aspect of what the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is going to help us. I know as I get older, the older I get, the less I know. That goes two ways, because the more I know, the less I understand. I don't know, that might be a little confusing, but what I'm trying to say is that the older I get, it seems like and I'm only 45 years old, so there's some people here older than me, there's some people here younger than me, but I know for me, my memory isn't what it was when I was younger. But do you ever find yourself in a situation where you're talking with someone, I know someone in the room here today was ministering to someone this week, and I'm sure that when we're ministering in the Lord's name, the Holy Spirit brings to our mind verses that we might have read years in the past, but this specific person that we're ministering to needs that verse or needs a word of encouragement, and the Holy Spirit imparts that on us. The Holy Spirit here in verse 26 not only teaches us, but teaches us all things, but what? The second half of 26. He's going to bring to our remembrance all that I have said to you. Now just think about what Jesus has said to his disciples just so far, just in the book of John. Way through. Yeah, we're over halfway through now. But what Jesus is going to continue to teach his disciples going forth from this point, and here we see the encouragement that Christ tells his followers, the Spirit's going to teach you all things. Not only that, he's going to bring to you remembrance of all things. Everything that I've taught you, he is going to remind you. He will be your reminder. In 1 John 2, chapter 2, verse 20, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. John writes in verse 20 of 1 John chapter 2, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. So we have been anointed by the Holy One. If you are a believer in Christ, if you have that saving faith that Christ, that we are a fallen man, that Christ, excuse me, we are fallen, we're sinners from birth, that God sent his Son to die on the cross on our behalf, and that he rose again 3 days later, and what he suffered and sacrificed on the cross, his shedding blood, was that sacrifice that was needed to cover our sins so that we can have unity with Christ and with God. If you believe that, then we are anointed with the Holy Spirit. So in this section, these two verses, there was three things that I wanted to kind of expel a little bit. One was, and like I said at the beginning, there are many different ministries of the Holy Spirit. We could have gone so many different directions in trying to understand who the Holy Spirit is and his different ministries, the different ministries of the Spirit. But just in accordance with the scripture, our text this morning, verses 25 and 26, we do see three things in relationship to who the Holy Spirit is and what his purpose is in our life, which is where the application of these two verses comes from. The first one we see right off the bat is the Holy Spirit is our helper. He will help us. In those times of struggle, in those times of need, there's many different applications to how the Holy Spirit can help us. But if we keep an open mind and not get so focused and driven in our own methods, a lot of that help comes from the Holy Spirit illuminating our minds to the truths contained in the Scripture. The Holy Spirit has and will continue to shed light on the truth. And where do we find truth? Where is the truth contained? It's in the Scripture. The Scripture is the truth. It's the light by which we live our lives, by which we're called to live our lives. Because we're sinful man, because we're fallen, yeah, we don't always follow it. We sin, we fall away. Even some of the hymns that we sing speak of how easily we fall away. But we see here this morning that we do have a helper in the Spirit. The second thing we see in verse 26 about the Spirit is he is a teacher. He's our teacher. So we have a helper in the Spirit. In the Holy Spirit, we have a helper and a teacher. So not only does he shed light on the truth, he illuminates our mind to the truth, the things of God, how he wants us to walk and talk. But he teaches us about it also. God's providential foreknowledge puts us in situations where we need to depend, where we often, for myself anyways, often depend on my own experiences, which is a dangerous place to, it's the very edge of a slippery slope. The Spirit teaches us what we need to do, how we need to do it. And how does he teach us? He teaches us by taking us back to the Scripture. And thirdly, I hope you'll find a little humor in this word, but the third thing that I wrote down that the Spirit is in our lives is a prodder. And the word that comes to my mind when I say prodder is working on farms and stuff is a cattle prod. The cow knows that he can only go through that chute one way, but sometimes he needs a little encouraging with it. A prodder, a little, they're not allowed to use zappers anymore. They're just little paddles to give them a little encouragement to keep going. But that cow knows, he might not know where he needs to go, but he can see the rails. He can, there's only one way to go, but he just needs a little prodding. And so I chose that word because that's how the Spirit is in our lives as well. It's not that we know all of Scripture and we have it all memorized and contained and we're just walking this straight and narrow path. No, sometimes we veer off the path. And that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, prods us, convicts us, speaks to us, guides us back into alignment with Christ, and helps us get back in a right relationship with Christ. So just like the cattle, knowing where they need to go, we know what we should do. We know what we should say. We know how we should act. But sometimes we don't always do that. So the Lord, or Jesus, asks the Father to send us a helper. And this, the Father has sent us a helper to guide us through that. Right. So if you didn't hear, I'll repeat it for those maybe listening online. 25 and 26 go together to help solidify verse 23. In that, Jesus, in verse 23, Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And he will come to him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So it's clear, and like I've said a couple times, we can't do this on our own. We need help. And that help comes from the Spirit. In John 15, verse 26, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." So here's where we could have even taken these couple of verses and gotten into the Trinity and spent a couple messages talking about the Trinity. I'll just briefly touch on it. So we know from past messages that Jesus was all about doing his Father's will. We see here in verse 26 that the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. And then at the end of verse chapter 15 and verse 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father. So here we see in this chapter, we see who's sending the Helper, the Spirit. Jesus is sending the Spirit, the Helper, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. So still the Spirit's coming from the Father, but the Son is the sender here. They're all wrapped up in unison. They're working as a unit. It would be different if they were trying to accomplish two different things. No, they're trying to accomplish the same thing, which brings them in close unity as the Trinity. And I already read in 1 John 2:20, I'm going to read it again. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and we all have knowledge. It's not on our own accord that we have knowledge. It's not on our own accord that we know truth. It's not on our own accord that we do anything that pleases the Lord. No, it's because we are anointed. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, starting in verse 20 actually, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. Verse 21. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us. So again, we see that God is the giver of that anointing. So we have the Helper, the Teacher, and the Reminder, or the Prodder. So he bears witness. The Holy Spirit bears witness. He illuminates our minds to the truth. But he doesn't just leave us there wondering what it means. No, he teaches us what we need to know. And thirdly, as a prodder or a reminder, he reminds us of truth. So he not only sheds light on the truth, and then teaches us about it. As we go through life, he reminds us about it. There are many absolutes in this world only because of Scripture. There's absolutes in mathematics. 2 + 2 will always equal 4. And different mathematical equations that always work out because they're absolutes. They're never changing. Just as God is never changing, and his truth, which is contained in the Scriptures, is never changing. It's absolute from front cover to back cover. What's contained in these words, in these pages, is absolute. And that's what the Spirit reminds us of. That's what he teaches us of. And that's also what he sheds light on, is absolute truth, which we find in the Scripture. He also reminds us when we sin, not if we sin, as we know from James. We all sin. We're all sinners. We're born into sin. He reminds us of what Christ has done on our behalf. Like this morning, partaking in communion, and remembering what Christ did on our behalf. When Joanna and I were younger, we were in a musical group. That might be a shock to some of you, but we were in a musical group, singing, dancing, traveling all over. And I don't even remember the name of the musical that we were doing, but they were all Christian musicals. But one of them, it was about the Spirit and about the still small voice that's in each believer. Each believer has that still small voice in us. And that Spirit, that still small voice, prods us and pricks our conscience when we sin. Those sins of omission, something that happened that we weren't, maybe we blindly were telling ourselves, oh, it wasn't a big deal. But yeah, any sin is a big deal. Any sin is a violation of God's law and separates us from God. That's why we needed Christ to die on the cross for our sins. But the Holy Spirit is our, that still small voice in our hearts and in our minds. And he directs us. He helps us. He teaches us. He shows us truth and how to get back in a right relationship with God. So I hope this morning you were able to see the three things that I tried to pull out of the scripture here that the Holy Spirit is for us in a very everyday, practical, applicable way. He's our helper by teaching us, he's our helper by shedding light. He illuminates our hearts and our minds to the truth of God. He, the Spirit, knows the depths of God, and God gave his Spirit to us to help us and illuminate us. So he's our helper, he's our teacher, and he's our prodder. Sometimes, for me personally, sometimes I'll be in a situation and without, I'm trying to forge ahead and push my way, plow. We can all relate to the snow that we've had up here this last week, the last couple of weeks. Kind of trying to push your way through snow. It doesn't go so good. It's not the easiest way to get rid of snow. You can't take your snow shovel and just walk 20 feet through the path. No, you have to, one step at a time, get rid of the snow. But for me, when I'm in a situation and I'm starting to veer off the path, it's the Holy Spirit that pricks my conscience and wakes my mind up to the truth. He reminds me. There's that aspect, but there's also, we need to ask for help with that. We need to ask the Holy Spirit. So when you find yourself in situations or leading up to situations, you don't need to go through it on your own. You can ask brothers and sisters and that you know who are believers to pray for you, to help you, to give you understanding, to give you wisdom. So we need to pray and ask for guidance and direction from the Lord. And who provides that? The Spirit does. So with that, I'm going to close us in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this morning, Lord, and for your word and the absolute truth that it represents. And we aren't left here. You didn't leave us here on earth hanging out to dry with no instruction or no guidance. No, Lord, you sent your very own Spirit, the Spirit who knows your depths, to be our helper. Lord, I know for many of us here, it's easy to get caught up in our own plans and our own expectations and our own ... fill in the blank. Lord, you know there's many of us that have a hard time with submitting to you, Lord. But we know that we can't do it on our own, and we thank you for giving us and providing us with a helper who helps us with shedding light and illuminating our minds, with teaching us about those truths and then reminding us about those truths that you've first illuminated us to and then taught us about. So as we go through life, Lord, continue to go through life and continue to go through sometimes even on a daily basis. It should be daily, Lord, that we submit to your Spirit. And I pray that we would allow, that you would give us the strength and to allow us to yield our will to not only to you, Father, but to your Spirit as he guides and directs us towards knowing you and knowing more about you. Lord, we love you and we do desire to follow you and please you. And I pray that your Spirit would help us in that endeavor. Amen.